happen. And I guess the weirdest thing being Antonio Brown is not a Buccaneer anymore.
Oh,
I felt like every Buccaneer fan knew that this was going to happen, but we always hoped that it wouldn't. There was some signs that obviously his whole career has been marred with controversies and you know, things that have happened, but his performance on the field, you know, he's a superstar. He's one of the best receivers to ever play in the game. he just can't hold it together for whatever reason. And it kind of started to go downhill, I guess, with the vax card controversy. He served a 3-game suspension, came back from that game, and had a great game last week and stepped in for Chris Godwin, you know, being on the injured reserve list with that knee. And I don't know. I listened to Ian's podcast today, Ian Beckel's podcast, and he thought that this had to do with Antonio Brown regaining some sort of power. And is in this Buccaneers situation with them in need of a stud receiver. So he felt like he was able to get away with more now that Chris Godwin was out, you know, for the rest of the year.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it, you know. And I always take Ian's his words to heart because he's a guy that played. You know, he played on the field. He understands more than we do how an NFL player thinks and all that. But, yeah, I mean, this guy, if he didn't have such a long history, and this just over the last 3 years, now I have a list, a timeline, real fast, I'll run through, of some of the problems that he has piled up in the last 3 years. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
December 2018 was when he really, you know, kind of popped off. He was deactivated for the Steelers Week 17 game after reportedly throwing a ball at a teammate in practice. Okay, so that was like the first sign of, uh-oh, what's going on? And then February, he met with owners Art Rooney, and both sides agreed to move on. So the next month, traded to the Raiders from the Steelers for a 3rd and 5th round pick, which that's not a lot for Antonio Brown. So they were just dumping him. Then, during training camp, he's placed for the Raiders, who were still in Oakland at the time. He was placed on the non-football injury list because he had frostbite on his feet because he put on the wrong shoes during cryotherapy. Okay, so that's never happened to any other player in the league. And then 1 month later, he missed training camp practices due to helmet grievances. Remember, he wanted to wear his own helmet, but they have helmet rules. You can't have more than one helmet, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, the rule sucks, but everybody else in the league adheres to it, but not him. So right then, people are like, uh-oh, we definitely have a diva situation. Then he's released a month after. He's released before the season starts, a day before the season starts, released by the Raiders after an Instagram post demanding his release and going off on a racial, like, slur tirade towards Mike Mayock, the GM, and they had to pull him away from him, like he wanted to kick his ass. So they cut him, and that was a $30 million contract he just dumped. They didn't have to pay him. So what's he do? He signs a 1-year deal for $15 million with the Patriots. Plays one game. Scores a touchdown against the Dolphins. And then sexual assault allegations come out from his trainer or his massage therapist or whatever she was. But they cut him after 1 week. So he played for the Patriots for 1 week. Then he was charged with felony burglary in January of 2020 and 2 misdemeanors for an incident with a moving truck company. Remember, he threw a bicycle at a guy and everything else in that event.
Yeah.
So he was suspended 8 games and the Bucs signed him. So remember, he couldn't play for the first 8 games because his, you know, the NFL conduct policy. And then he signed with us. Everything was going pretty well. And then the latest, he got suspended 3 games for violating the vaccine protocols. He was the NFLPA and the league agreed that he cheated the vaccine card thing.
Yeah.
And so all that was before the incident yesterday where he looked like a crazy person. He ripped his shirt off, ripped his gloves off, threw him into the stands, threw his shoulder pads and his jersey on the bench. O.J. Howard and Mike Evans were trying to calm him down. He wasn't having it. Then he's like peace signing and doing jumping jacks in the end zone. I mean, we're lucky we didn't get a penalty for 12 men on the field.
Yeah, they thought that, I guess the security there thought that he was a fan that had got on the field because it was just a guy with bicycle shorts on and no shirt jumping up and down.
Wearing his uniform.
No, I know, but it looked like tight little pants with no shirt. It looks weird without the jersey on and the pads on and stuff.
Yeah.
So they thought that he was, you know, a fan. They almost tackled him and arrested him, took him to jail.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. And I remember watching it being like, what's happening? What is going on? Like, I couldn't figure it out. And I'm looking at the video. I still can't tell what's going on. But apparently, according to Jay Glazer, the Fox Sports insider, it all stemmed from Coach Arians telling him to get back in the game.
Right.
And then he refused for whatever reason. And then when he refused a second time, Arians reportedly told him to get out. And so Brown did so. He did the spectacle, throwing his shoulder pads off, quitting on a team, and left. Arians told Glazer they'd never seen anything like it in all of his years. During his press conference after the Buccaneers' 28-24 win over the Jets, the only comment Arians offered was to say that Brown was no longer on the team. Quarterback Tom Brady asked for compassion and empathy toward Brown, who he considers a good friend. He recorded 3 receptions before leaving in the third quarter. Brown received a police escort to the airport and had not communicated with the team about where he planned to go.
He had an Uber driver. His Uber driver released videos all over Bleacher Report and everything else. And the thing is, too, is depending on where you get your information, the stories are a little bit different. So Ian Rappaport was on NFL Network this morning, and he said that Antonio Brown told Bruce Arians that he felt like he was injured, like his ankle wasn't good to go.
Right.
But Bruce Arians said today during the press conference after practice that that was not discussed at all. He never said that he was injured. He just said, I'm not going back in the game. You know, so if I had to believe somebody in that situation, I would go with the guy that has a history of being a diva, a history of being a problem child. And I say that with empathy because I do believe he's probably got some brain damage or he's got some serious mental issues going on. But there's always the outside chance, Will, that he's just an asshole.
Yeah. Well, that was something else that he had talked about today. He goes, 30% of the guys in the NFL are assholes. they're all ass. He's like, but the difference is that they're not leaving behind millions of dollars on the table.
Yes.
They're still on the team, even if
assholes love money.
Right. Even if their character is poor, they still go to work, they get their job done, and they do what they have to do.
He needed one more touchdown for $333,000 more dollars. He needed 5 more catches in 2 games for $333,000 more dollars in incentives. He just dumped it, just like he dumped $30 million with the Raiders. You know what I mean? It comes to the point where his craziness cost him money and he doesn't care. And somehow, some way, Will, not that it was planned, but the day he walks off the field and quits on the team, he releases a rap song on Instagram.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was a rapper.
I had heard that. I didn't know that that was, you know, serious, but I knew that he was doing that. We knew it was going to happen. We knew he was messed up. His history showed that, but you were like,
I was hoping
okay.
It would be during the off season after we win the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, well, I mean, even I'm sure that he was his personality. I mean, we saw when he came back after the suspension. Listen, I hate media too. So part of me is like, yeah, good, Antonio. But they were just asking questions about something that happened. And he accused them of starting drama. And, you know, he did take no accountability for that card. Or he could have just said, look, I served my time. I'm ready to get back to work. But
I felt like he went off on the wrong person. He went off on Jenna Lane. And she's not the one that really caused drama. It was more Rick Stroud and some of the other people. And look, Rick's just doing his job, too. All right? I'm not saying what he did was wrong. But if you're going to have beef with a Bucks beat writer, the only one I could see him having beef with would be somebody from the Times, Rick Stroud, or one of his crew. Jenna Lane kind of keeps it even keel. You know, I haven't seen her attack people very often, where some writers seem a little more aggressive and seem like, you know, they might have a bias towards a certain person or not. But, you know, like I said, I'm not saying Rick Stroud, you know, leaning on the vaccine stuff with Antonio Brown was wrong or not. You know, he's been doing the job for a long time. I didn't like it myself too much because I thought, you know, it's you got your point across. Why write 9 articles in a row about it? But that's just me. You know, I don't. I'm a person that, you know, I can have an opinion on what kind of, you know, content I want to consume also. But yeah, I just thought that he chose, like, he answered a question from Rick Stroud. And then when Jenna Lane asked him something about, it was just a question was, you know, does it feel good having your coach having your back after the controversy? And then he just like went off and I'm like, okay. Got to pick your battles a little better, but he's crazy.
Well, I think he is legitimately, something's wrong with him in his brain.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody expressed, Bruce Arians, you know, expressed it too, said, I wish him well. I hope he gets help.
Right.
If he needs help, I hope he gets help because it's very hard. And they do care about him. I know Tom is close with them. He considers him a friend. He was staying at his house when he first signed here in Tampa. And you know, it was just such a weird thing to watch. It was so hard to comprehend what was happening when it was happening because it was so unusual. You know, Mike Evans going over there being like, you know, what are you doing? And then
what are you doing? Yeah, money, dude. Just think about your family. Think about the money. Oh, that's what I would think about.
That was another thing that I saw on Twitter is people were accusing the Buccaneers of sabotaging Antonio Brown because he was very close to an incentive where you'd make like $300,000 or something.
So stupid. That is so stupid. Last year, it was the same thing. It was right before the Super Bowl. He needed a couple of catches for $250,000. It was like 9 catches he needed to get an extra $250,000. And I remember Tom Brady went above and beyond to get those for him, remember? And the Bucs didn't bench him. They gave him that extra money. That kind of money means nothing to them. Winning is what matters. They're not going to have a guy on the team catching passes to score and then go, wait a minute, we need to save $300,000. No, they're going to make that money if their team is winning. That is silly. And people saying that is so... I saw people bringing the race card into it today on social media.
Oh, it's in everything. I mean...
I go, shut your goddamn mouth. Are you stupid? Shut up. 75% of the league is black. They'd be benching everybody if it was a race thing. Shut your damn mouth. The teams, you know what color NFL owners care about? Green, bitch. They want money. They don't care what color you are when it comes to scoring and winning football games. Mm-hmm. Just stop it. God damn.
Yeah.
So,
but you know,
it's sad.
It is, and it's terrible timing too. But you know, you have this is time where it's next man up type of scenario. It's terrible that the Bucs are losing. You know, it's obviously awful that we lost Chris Godwin to injury. Uh-huh. But losing, you know, your third receiver, Antonio Brown, one of the best ever played the game. I mean, this is bad timing heading into the playoffs where you're going to have to go into Lambeau Field in January, most likely. You know, you just hope that some of these guys can step up. I don't know who's primed to take Antonio Brown's spot. I don't know if Scotty Miller steps in or what.
No, you know why I don't care? Because Tom Brady, that's why. This is what he has done for over 20 years in the league. He's lost great players. He's played on Super Bowl teams with no-name wide receivers. He knows how to get the best out of an average player and really get the best out of great players. Because I don't know how many times he won in New England when Edelman was hurt, when Wes Welker was hurt, when Randy Moss left the team. He kept winning. It doesn't matter. And he showed it yesterday. When you... Okay, against Buffalo, who won the game in overtime? Breshad Perriman.
Oh, right,
it wasn't Godwin.
Right.
It wasn't Evans, right? Tom Brady will throw the ball to anybody and make him a superstar. And then yesterday, 93-yard drive, he throws this to Cyril Grayson. Like, that. It doesn't matter. It's Tom Brady, man. You know, well, he's going to win.
That good. But obviously, given the choice, if you could have, you know, Chris Godwin and Antonio Brown. Or, you know, Cyril Grayson and Perriman, obviously you're going to go with Godwin and Antonio Brown.
Yeah,
it's just bad timing. But, hey, that's what the team's about. And you're right. You got Tom Brady. You got guys stepping up. And hopefully they can continue that.
This thing might actually galvanize the Bucs a little bit. Because the thing I noticed today on Twitter was the players that were tweeting out, guys like Donovan Smith, guys like that, they said the word team a lot today. A lot more than normal. They were really calling it a team win. And I think this thing with Antonio Brown might just galvanize him and make him make, if they didn't already have it, you know, sealed in their mind that this is a team sport. And one guy taking a shirt off isn't going to stop you from winning, you know, and that's the thing. Maybe it's good to nip it.